This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا صدق الله العظيم. So just to wrap up verse number 27, we had commenced the discussion in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nobody can change his words, his verses, his promises. وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And certainly you will not find another place of refuge. The only place of refuge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other supposed refuge is temporary. إِنَّ الَّذِي تَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ. Wow, what did the Arabic poet say? The person you are hopeful of a favor from in this world is a pauper, the son of a pauper, is dependent, the son of a dependent, is feeble, the son of a feeble. He himself, he might have little more clout than you, he's got pull, he's got muscle, but in reality he also has a cut-off point. ذَلِكَ مَبَلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. This is their cut-off point of knowledge. So yes, he, you know what, he's the ambassador, he issues the visas, or the matter sits on his desk, or the pool is with him. But beyond that, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah is absolute, Allah is independent, and Allah is sovereign. Everyone else needs approval, needs it to be endorsed, needs it to be sanctioned by someone else. Which the poet said, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ. وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And you will never find any place of refuge besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us that ability to connect and have that relation with Him. We move on verse number 27 we concluded, and now we move on to verse 28, and that's the verse that I just recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs and impresses upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ, and restrain yourself, and restrain yourself. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ, with those people, يَدْعُونَ, who supplicate رَبَّهُمْ, their Lord, بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ, in the morning and the evening, meaning عَلَى الدَّوَامِ, who worship Allah at all times, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ, seeking the pleasure and the rida and the happiness of Allah. The backdrop and the context to this ayah is that on a particular instance, some prominent, high-profile, influential infidels were sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in that very same discourse and gathering, they were great, noble companions radiyallahu anhum. However, these companions radiyallahu anhum were of low financial standing. And financial standing doesn't matter in the eyes of the Almighty. But to those who look with the material eye, with the mundane eye, with the transitory eye, for them, you know what, the grounds or the yardstick or the benchmark of grading someone is his worldly accolades, is his worldly accomplishments. So they took objection to this. It was Sayyidina Ammar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu, the poor amongst the noble companions radiallahu anhum. And these were great, great sahaba. Every sahabi was great. Every sahabi was great. However, the Quran makes a distinction, and this is in the Quran, that certain companions are greater than other companions. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى لا يستوي منكم. They cannot be equal. Man anfaqa, those who spent and brought iman and strove in the path of Allah before the conquest of Makkah, and those who did post the conquest of Makkah. Those who accepted in the early stages, their rank is far greater. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِّن بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا أُولَٰئِكَ. These people, أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً, are greater in rank, position and status compared to those who came later into Islam. So every companion, radiyallahu anhu, was great, but the likes of Sayyidina Salman and Ammar and Suhaib, radiyallahu anhu, were great. Suhaib Rumi, Suhaib who came from Rome, he was the same person regarding whom the verse was revealed in chapter 2, Juz 2. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بَتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. When he was migrating to Medina Munawwara and the enemies tried to attack him and they wanted to, you know what, assault him. And he said, أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَنْزِي. I will inform you of my treasures in Makkah and you can take it and just leave me alone and don't harass me. And so he gave them the whereabouts of his wealth, and he parted happily with his assets so that he can enjoy a safe passage to Medina. And as he came into Medina, the verses were revealed, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and amongst people, men, those, yashri nafsa. And if you know yashri in Arabic, for Arabic those lovers of grammar, you'll know that this is amongst the azdad. Azdad is the plural of the word ziddun. Ziddun means those words that have the opposite meanings. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. يَشَرَوْ in Surah Yusuf chapter 12, Juz 12, can mean بَاعُوهُ or إِشْتَرُوهُ. It can mean they sold or they purchased. So in Arabic, certain words have both the meanings and they are referred to as azdad. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ. Wara normally means in the rear, in the back, but wara'un in the context of this particular ayah, which is chapter 18, Suratul Kahf, in the 16 Juz on the first page, refers to Amam, and that's the beauty of the language, and that's the need we need to understand. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ
الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ والليل إذا عسعس.
عسعس is also from amongst the أضداد. إذا أقبل أو أدبر. By the night when it appears or disappears. I just shared few examples that came to mind. So ومن الناس, amongst the people, من يشري نفسه, are those who sell themselves. Whatever they have, I can part with it. ابتغاء مرضات الله, to please Allah. والله رؤوف بالعباد. And Allah is kind with his bondsmen. So these disbelievers said, listen, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't mind sitting with you, listening to you, entertaining what you talk, but you need to get rid of these poor companions, radiyallahu anhum. You know what? It's below our dignity to rub shoulders with them, to sit in a common gathering with them. And this wasn't the first attempt of these people. In fact, in the previous chapter, and I credit this to Allah, Allah is putting these thoughts in my mind. In the previous chapter, in chapter number 17, verse number 73 and 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a similar incident. وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذَا لَاتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا. Now, if I'm going to go into Arabic grammar here, so in. So here in, the scholars will tell you, مُخَفَّف مِنَ المثقل. So مُخَفَّف means light, مُثَقَّل means heavy. Light meaning that there isn't a tashdeed on it. And مُثَقَّل meaning there is a tashdeed on it. Meaning in here is in the meaning of inna. In is in the meaning of inna, and inna means definitely, absolutely. Because in the common average Arabic grammar, you have in nafiya, you have in shartiya. Into negate or in that comes as a condition after which there's a majzoom and there's a jaza. But let's not digress. In here would mean in the meaning of absolutely, definitely. Kadu is harfe muqaraba, to come close. Wa in kadu la come for emphasis again. Wa in kadu la yaftinunaka anil ladhi awhayna ilayk. And they were very close. And definitely they were on the verge. La yaftinunaka. لَيَصْرِفُونَكْ to divert you from the revelation that we sent to you. لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرًا so that you can fabricate against us something. لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرًا contrary to what we had revealed to you. This is what they came with. This was their agenda. وَإِذَنْ and then if you obliged and complied and buckled under their pressure and surrendered to their impositions, لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا they would have made you their bosom friend. Now again, my mind is drifting. You know, in Arabic, you have the word khalil, then you have the word sahib, then you have the word rafiq, and then there's a fine difference between this, but it's going to go into too much grammar and detail, so let's just focus on the ayah. I told you chapter 17, verse 73. So what did they come and tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Get rid of these poor companions, move them away. And if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had obliged and agreed with them and requested the poor companions to sit separately, oh, they would have been too happy because that their ego would be inflated. You see, no, we don't sit with these people. It's below our dignity. No, no, not at all. We need a separate sitting. We need a private meeting. Exactly, my profile. Sorry, I don't sit on the floor. I cannot sit like that. I cannot eat with my hands. I'm not comfortable. This was their kind of demeanor and attitude. But of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even entertain it. Did not even entertain it. So Allah subhanahu wa taala said, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا This was what they came with the request, and it ties up with the same verse here, what we're doing now at the moment, verse 28, and that was the previous chapter, so same request, get rid of the poor, we can't sit with them. May Allah give us humility, my brother. May Allah give us humility, my sister. I always say this here, when you see somebody's wealth, and then he says, oh, pray for me that Allah must keep me humble. And I say to him, well, you know what? The claim of humility itself is arrogance. When you say, pray that I must remain humble, I'm claiming humility. In English, don't they say, humility is strength. Just when you claim it, you lost it. Just when you claim it, you lost it. If I say I'm humble, I lost it. Only Allah can decide if I have sincerity. Only Allah can decide if I have humility. Yes, there are external indications, etc., qara'in, dala'il, etc. But only Allah knows, only Allah knows. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Mukarramah, وَذَقْنُهُ عَلَىٰ رَاحِلَتِهِ His blessed chin was flush on the back of his conveyance. He was so humbled. He had dropped himself and he's entering as the conqueror of Makkah Mukarramah. And he's now facing those very people who banished him and expelled him and had, forsaken him. Humility. What did Aisha radiallahu anha say? إِنَّكُمْ لَتَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَفْضَلِ الْعِبَادَةِ You people tend to ignore the greatest form of worship. And people asked, what worship are you referring to, O our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha? And she said, At-tawadu, humility, humility. Yes, humility. You know, this is the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man tawadu'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Okay, what did Allah say in this verse here? Walawla an thabbatnak. Again, I'm saying, I wish people were with me on one page. وَلَوْلَا And if it was not, أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ That we kept you firm. ثَبَّتَ يُثَبِّتُ تَثْبِيتُ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ If it was not, that we intervene and we kept you firm. لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ Oh my word. Oh my Allah. How do I translate this here? This speaks about the purity of the soul of a prophet. So there is our aqidah, which the thought just comes in, and that is the isma, al-ismatu lil-anbiya, that the prophets are protected against sin. They are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. Al-ismatu, we declare the purity and the sinless nature of the prophets. Now, this speaks of how pure and clean and noble and pristine is the makeup, the composition, the anatomy, and the demeanor of a prophet. We rescued you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And had we not rescued you, they came with such a conniving, obnoxious, sly and cunning wicked agenda to influence you, to dissuade you. لَقَدْ كِتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. It was highly possible that perhaps you might slightly, somewhat incline to what they said in your thoughts. Allahu Akbar. And this is, I'm still trying to simplify, because kitta means to come close. Tarkanu means slightly inclined. Then Allah said shay'an, which means little. Then Allah said qalilan, which means again little. In other words, we rescued you from the slightest possible inclination towards this. Had it not been our intervention, there would have been a wee bit of some bit of supposed on the verge of trying to incline. That's how pure the nature of a Nabi is. If it's me or you, my brother, or us, my sister, and then if somebody comes and dangles the candy before us, and you know what? We will fall headlong into it. Wow! We lose our faith, our morality, our name, our honor and prestige in one. I just fell for it. Somebody offers my young brother a recreational drug and there he goes. Or some porn pops up on my phone and there I lost it. Or somebody offers you a lucrative deal. You know that it is shady and it is doubtful, but there's some serious revenue in it. There you gone. But subhanallah, how pure was the character of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the protection of Allah, that Allah did not even allow him to incline in the slightest way. Nassun, nassun, nassun fi anna ismatallahi hiya al-hafidh lal-quwwatun nafsiyya. فَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا فِي شَأْنِ سَيِّدِ الرَّاسِخِينَ فَكَيْفَ بِكَ يَا مِسْكِينَ وَكَيْفَ تَغْتَرُّ بِتَقَدُّسِكَ وَنِسْبَتِكَ الْبَاطِنَةِ الَّتِي عَسَى أَن تَكُونَ مَوْهُومَ مَزْعُومَ. My word, read this in Bayan al-Quran. If Allah is telling the purest of the pure, the paragon of His creation, the noblest of His creation, we rescued you, we protected you, then, oh, average, common, regular, mortal human, how dare you claim arrogance? How dare you pontify yourself? How dare you trumpet yourself? How can we ever claim nobility and piety? Let's get back into the verse. Oh, so what happened? No, move them away. So Allah told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no, you restrain yourself with these people who worship Allah. Yad'una, supplicate Him. Morning and evening, yuriduna wajha, who are seeking the happiness of Allah. Wala ta'du aynaka anhum, and do not shift your attention away from them. Do not divert your gaze. Abbara bihima an sahibi, meaning you don't leave them. Can you imagine the rank of these people that Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to keep them under His gaze, to sit in their company? Wala ta'du aynaka anhum. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do not shift your attention from them with the intention of acquiring the adornment of this worldly life. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ did not do this. The adornment of this worldly life would be that if the Messenger ﷺ had to shirk or shun or put the poor Sahaba on hold and entertain these people. And in this is a strong message for you and I, that remember, Islam is open and clear. Nobody can add to the honor of Islam. If you come into Islam, you add to your honor. You don't add to the honor of Islam. Islam is honorable by itself. Allah has given it honor. By any celebrity accepting Islam, you do not make Islam any greater. It is the greatest. You do not add to the greatness of Allah. Allah is the greatest. Yes, by accepting the truth. Good luck to yourself. You add yourself amongst those who hopefully can be from those that will be potentially saved from hellfire, provided we die with iman and we ask Allah to make that a reality. So, turidu zinat al-hayati dunya, with the intention of attracting worldly glitter, would mean that if somebody has to entertain and, you know what, be insensitive to the needs of the poor and hurt their feelings and accommodate these prominent people, then that would be the context of this ayah, which of course the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not entertain in the least. And it's a message again, as I said, that the glitter and the honor of Islam is done and is concluded. You accept, good luck for you. And if I do not accept, then that harm comes back to me. Man amila saliha falinafsi. You do good for yourself. Waman asa'a, and whoever does wrong, fa'alayha, the harm is upon yourself. Waman amila salihan falianfusihim yamhadun. You doing good, you pay for yourself. Anyway, وَتُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا, and do not obey the one, أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance. مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ, we've made his heart heedless from our remembrance, بِعِنَادِهِ, because of his arrogance. Because of his arrogance, we have made his heart heedless. So don't listen to him, don't entertain them. You want to come and sit with the poor companions? You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. I know of a brother who had once invited me for a lecture program, and then he cried and he, you know, shared his own personal incident. And he said that, unfortunately, my life went in gambling. And then as we were going for Salah and I was delivering the talk, we passed, you know what, the race course. And he said, this is where I used to spend my money and this is where I used to bet and gamble. And one day I was here, and it was the time of Maghrib, and the Adhan was being sounded, and the Adhan was echoing. And it hit my heart, and I said to myself, like, how long will I continue in my vice? And I felt that inner calling. Was it not Fudail bin Ayyad who heard the verse? أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Has the time not come for the hearts of the believers to submit to Allah? And Fudail ibn Ayyad said that was the turning point. So this brother said, I was here and I realized I just had this inner calling, and I decided that, you know what? I want to give up a life. I want to give up a life of sin. And subhanallah, I left from there. I came out. I came to the masjid. And I was so embarrassed that I wanted to pray, but I didn't know how to read Surah Fatiha. The next day, I mustered the courage and I went to the local imam and I said, you know what? I am ashamed of myself. I'm in my 60s and I don't know the basics of Islam. I would love to learn Quran. So he said to me, no problem. We have a regular madrasa that takes place in the afternoons. You're more than welcome to join the class and sit down. So he's narrating it to me. He said, first I felt, no man, I mean, these are kids this age of my grandchildren. I cannot sit there. That's below my dignity, man. You know what? You need to, I'm a prominent businessman. I'm a high flyer. And I realized that, you know what? If I'm going to ask for a separate time, I'm not going to get that moment. And I'm going to remain deprived of the Quran. And then I told myself, it's your need, it's your request. Humble yourself and go and learn. So I would come daily and sit with the children who were the age of my grandchildren. And I started learning Quran. And then he said, would you allow me the privilege to read Quran to you? So I said, by all means. And as he started reading, I started tearing and he started tearing. And then he said, pray to Allah that a day can come that I can understand what I am reciting before my eyes close. And I continue to make that dua for him, that I hope he has commenced that journey, and may Allah make it possible for everyone. I wish that for every believer. Wallahi, I wish that for every believer that we can read and understand the message. And it's just not, you know what, Arabic. It's just not Arabic. It comes with related sciences, the passion of Quran, and understanding and having that desire. So if you want to seek guidance, come and sit in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he's sitting with the companions, perfect. But don't come and dictate to him, move this one and tell that one to leave. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, And do not listen to those whose heart we have made heedless from our remembrance, bi'inadihi, because of their arrogance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَىٰ, and his whole life is just following his base desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا, and his matter entails transgressing all bounds. That's what his nature is. He's gone beyond all bounds, referring to the infidels of Makkah Mukarrama. So ignore them, shun them, don't entertain them. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ did not entertain them, but the revelation of this verse sends out a strong warning to these arrogant, obstinate, infidel people that day you come and try and make such a request to the Prophet ﷺ, because it will never be entertained. It will never be entertained. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Your value in the eyes of Allah is through your worship and your servitude. If you fall short in that, then there is no recognition and credit to you. The benchmark and the yardstick in the eyes of Allah is your nobility. We move on to verse number 29. And this is what Allah says in very strong and very stern words. Don't listen to them. Don't entertain them. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, keep yourself in the company of the pious who worship me morning and evening, and don't take your attention off them. Tell them, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say unto them, the truth has arrived from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is what we refer to as tahdeed. Al-amru lit-tahdeed. You know, when you study Usul al-Shashi and Nurul Anwar, then you learn the different meanings that Amr has with it. And one out of it is al-amru lit-tahdeed, where it gives a command or a reflection of a command, but in essence, it is a warning. You tell your child, yeah, go jump, go run, go fall, go hike, go do what you want to. Okay, my dad said I must do what I want to. No, that's not a command. That's not an injunction. That is daring you. That is alerting you. That is warning you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wants, tell him he must bring iman. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whoever wants, he can denounce and make kufr. But hang on, if you choose the latter, then listen properly. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا. إِنَّا verily أَعْتَدْنَا, we have prepared لِلظَّالِمِينَ, for the sinners and the oppressors and the criminals, نَارًا, a fire. What's the nature of this fire and these blazing flames? نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. That we have prepared for them a fire, and the nature of this fire is such that it has been surrounded. It has been surrounded. A fire, the walls of which will be surrounded. Surrounded with what? Surrounded with flames. Naran, a fire. Ahata, surrounded. Suradiquha. Suradiquha, a fustatuha, khaymuha, shubbiha bihi. So it's, you know, a tashbih has been given. It has been likened to like a covering, like a tent, meaning you'll be surrounded by flames all over. لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ. Above will be flames, beneath you will be flames. لَهُمْ مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ مِهَادٌ. Your bedding will be of flames. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَتِرَانٌ. The clothes will be highly flammable. The clothes will be highly flammable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا. And due to the intensity of thirst, if they were to ask for any drink or help or aid or assistance, يُغَاثُوا, they will be aided by يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ, what water which will resemble the residue of oil. So the residue which is at the bottom, which is murky, which is dirty, which is unclean, that's how unpleasant it would look. Meaning, karahiyatul mandar, in its sight, in its appearance, it would look so unpleasant. You're extremely thirsty and somebody gives you a glass, and the glass has, you know what, stains on it and blotches on it, and the water is murky. You're like, okay, no, thank you, you can keep it. You know what, I'll stall my thirst, I'm fine. You need to use a loo. You have an urgent need of the washroom. You get into the bathroom, and unfortunately, the person who used the washroom prior to you did not have the common courtesy of leaving the facility decent enough for the next person. You shut the door and you stall your need. The desperation of thirst will ask for a drink. They will be aided by water, which in its look would be so unpleasant, like the residue of oil. Yesh will wudu, and it would be so hot and so scorching that as you bring the goblet any closer to your face, it will roast your skin completely and burn every layer. Bi'sa sharab, evil indeed this would be as a drink. Wasa'at murtafaqa, and the worst resting place. May Allah save us from hell. Daily we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ajirna minan nar, Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Oh Allah, protect us from the fire. Oh Allah, protect us from the fire. Oh Allah, protect us from the fire. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.